same condition exists with silver, by the way. It's broken out versus gold going back 13-year base
Right.
in
This is
late last
powerful right
year.
here. That is powerful. Go
It,
ahead.
so we've got a technical situation that is arguing that silver has freshly, late last year, emerged versus gold as a performer. The miners have now signaled we too are now going to outperform gold. That does not occur in a bear market.
No.
Okay. So again, these charts speak volumes because they also imply something about asset class shift out of something into something. And so my position, personal position, is favor silver and the miners, but especially silver miners.
Michael Oliver, Momentum Structural Analysis. Good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
I'm glad to be here, Mandy. Good to be
Yep.
back.
Well, it's always great to have you. Just to all my viewers and listeners, I do get Michael's services. I find them very insightful. Michael, real quick, we'll do this also in the middle and the end. If people want to do business with you, if they want to find you, how do they do that?
It's OliverMSA.com, Momentum Structural Analysis, OliverMSA.com.
Got it. And Colby, our producer, will put all of this in the show notes for all
Okay.
of you viewers and listeners in the show notes, both on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. Michael, there's a saying, and it almost, I think I've used this with you before. It's, I think it's a Buddhist saying, may you live in interesting times. Right? And boy, do we live in interesting times. And no, I'm not a Buddhist, but I think it's very fitting for what we're going through here. Let's work that out. Your last weekly report that, again, that I am a subscriber to, you started pounding the table, but you pointed out some things that are very interesting. Tell me about it.
Okay. Well, a couple of things happened in several things happened in August that most people don't notice. And we do, and we claim that they are extremely important and bigger than what you just see on the charts that we're sending. The issue is, from our view, the movement of assets out of the paper category of US stock market, Nikkei 225 is also another candidate, that are bloated, overdone for 16, 17 years now, the oldest bull market. Also, the biggest gain, S&P went up tenfold, so did Nikkei. And I know why, because ultimately what drives assets up or down is the movement of money by investors and institutions from what they perceive to be more favorable and then suddenly less favorable, therefore they go somewhere else. And it's a very rare case that this bloated category called money, which drives everything. You know, it's the point being that when they inflate the money supply, it goes somewhere. It's a flood, the river gets more massive year by
Right.
year, decade by decade. So it goes somewhere. That's why, you know, when your father built the house, it was 45,000, his father before him, 4,500, and now the median home is 450,000.
That's actually really accurate with my parents and grandparents, but go
No,
ahead.
it is. It is, and it expresses the decay in the thing we call money.
Right.
We think it's an asset. No, it's not. It's a piece of paper, okay? And it depletes in value. We're a junior Weimar Republic, okay?
Right.
We're not carrying around in wheelbarrows yet, but the Japanese, us, Europe, you name it. Money supply growth is just, it's a beautiful parabolic chart. You know,
Through the
it's
roof.
just, you
Yep.
just want to own it, you know? Anyway, that goes somewhere.
Yeah.
That money goes somewhere.
Right.
And quite often it'll go to the stock market. And but then the stock market even will get to a point finally where the investors who've allocated capital to that traditional category suddenly perceive that I'm not quite sure now. You know, they're not necessarily bearish, but I need to move a little bit of money over here, somewhere alternative place, especially the big asset managers who are constantly thinking about that issue. And there's two charts that smack you in the face and have implications about asset class movement. And
I
that's
can bring them up if you want to.
the two big blue chip, the gold and silver miner,
Got
Wheaton
it.
and precious metals at the bottom is the biggest cap silver miner, and the biggest cap gold miner is Newmont. Okay,
Got it. Hey,
upper
Michael,
left.
let me interrupt you just to all my viewers and listeners. I'm pulling up some pages from you're getting a treat from Michael's weekly report. That's what we're going to talk about. Go ahead,
Yeah.
Michael.
Normally, we look at momentum factors that turn up or down, and price will usually follow that. But quite often, price will be somewhat lagged to the breakouts rendered by momentum. But anyway, so we just show price here because price smacks you in the face. We know we've had a rally over the last 4 or 5 weeks in gold and silver. And frankly, we called it MSA back in early August. We had signals that were triggered for gold, silver, GDX ETF, the gold miner, and SIL, the silver miner ETF, all on the same day,
Yes, you did. Yes, you
August
did.
5th. And we said, okay, this time we're going to start a new rally. The difference is that this rally is going to be different than the other two rallies that have occurred since that collapse in January, February. There have been two rallies since then, but this one's going to sustain, and ultimately we're going to leave this zone behind. Now, gold didn't do that. Silver didn't. Had nice rallies. That gold went from under 4,000 to 4,700. Silver went from 55 to 71. And the GDX and SIL went back, oh, 80% toward their high, even stronger than gold and silver. But here are the two big blue chips of the sector. And
Newmont up
look,
here and Wheaton right here,
yeah, and
correct?
Wheaton, look what the daily price action did in a matter of a couple handfuls of days. It wiped out 5.5 to 6 months of layered downside overlap,
Yep.
which we were downside with rallies and downs, but this is a constant gradual
Right there.
zigzag. Yeah, but look at
Whoa.
that. Just in days,
Whoa.
literally, you could find 6 days out of that 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks there where it explains the whole thing.
Yeah.
How come there was no doubter selling resistance on the way up? How come this thing went back to the highs in a heartbeat, these two guys? It suggested to me that large asset managers in the stock arena are getting a little bit antsy about the stock market. Now, they're not bearish necessarily, but they feel the need to reallocate into some other asset categories that are doing well. And if you look at the miners and gold, frankly, over the years, they've done well despite the recent major drop. Okay. They don't buy junior miners. These guys don't, they don't buy silver bullion ETFs and stuff like that. And they don't buy little junior gold and silver miners. They went for the big blues, okay,
Right.
which makes sense. And that explains why this little wet bar of soap, which is what the mining sector is, it's a tiny little sector. These two blue chips in the sector went to the highs immediately.
Yep.
Now, I'm not in intimate contact with day-to-day contact with big asset managers, but I have a friend who is. I gave him a call about a week ago before I put these out, and I said, Dennis, this something's going on here, and I think it's major asset managers. Doesn't take many of them, two or three, five or ten, you know, whatever, moving a single percent of their assets into this sector, and they went into these miners. I said, that's my assumption. And he happened to be sitting, when I called him, he happened to be literally talking and sitting across the table from a major such asset manager. That asset manager gave a thumbs up because he could hear what I was saying. That is what he thinks happened too. Maybe he did it too. So why is it that big asset managers are suddenly deciding now to move into this category? Because normally, you know, the old rule was 60-40, stocks, bonds, okay?
Right.
And if you get nervous about stocks, you move it over to T-bonds, right? Okay, that was the old rule. And but now we don't have that situation anymore, as the head of CIO of Morgan Stanley said 6 months ago, it's 60-20-20, gold 20, okay.
Right.
So a new reality is here, is what he said. Well, obviously these guys took a page from his book or were in agreement with him and did so. So I think that's a statement you see here that implies something more than just, hey, somebody wanted to buy gold miners. Why the two blue chips? Because they're big asset managers, that's why. And how come they went up so easily? You know, and no headlines about this. I haven't seen any financial TV show or Wall Street Journal having a big special on why did Newmont go back to its high in a heartbeat and Wheaton, you know.
Yeah, I mean it's shocking to me if I
Yeah.
just looking at the charts here, especially with Wheaton. I mean that's just shocking.
Yeah. Yeah. Silver's not back to its high, but Wheaton is. Okay. Oh, yeah,
Right?
sure. You've got sellers. Since this is Friday, the last day on this chart is Friday. So you've had some selling since then. But that's no doubt people say, well, man, I'll tell you, I'm at the old highs, I'm getting out, a knee-jerk, immature response. But the fact that they could get back there so easily indicates that, hey, this broad sector is probably sold out. And there's not a lot of layered selling waiting overhead. And even GDX and SIL have charts similar to this, but they didn't get back to their high. They got them, two-thirds of the way, but much stronger than gold and silver. So that also indicates a flow into the mining stocks suddenly. Now, so this is a table pounder in that regard. It says something about the stock market, we think. Okay,
So
now,
let me just
yeah, go
add
ahead.
in here. I have a thesis, a theory, and it's pretty known theory. A lot of people act on it that the big guys lead too, and these are the big boys of everything.
Yep, often they do. Now, when the whole mobs, all the mobs come in for about 6 months or a year, you got to get nervous. But even the mob can be right at the tail end. But I think the mobs are about to come in. But I think it'll take something like silver and gold getting back to their highs before they finally wake up. Okay. So that's fine because, then it'll really be a wet bar of soap. And for the longs that have been patient through this process, they can sit back and just watch what they can't believe verticality. Now, flip over, if you will, a couple more pages, and this, I think, is the most important technical chart out there among T-bonds, stock market, gold. I think this is the most important chart. I'll tell you why. This shows the relative valuation, relative performance of the gold, silver mining sector. The Philadelphia Gold Index of gold and silver miners goes back to 1980 on this chart, and each reading is simply the monthly close of where XAU was when you divided into an ounce of gold. And as you can see, from 1980s, 1990s, 2008, you lived in a range, multi-decade range, where the average valuation was like in the mid-20s, 25%. The middle of that box, let's say, even got up to 35% one time, and all the lows were down around 18%. So you lived in a range of reality valuation. And between that breakage to the downside and the low in the gold and silver market, which occurred in 2015, yeah, right there, that spread got down to 4%. I mean, what do you
That's an
think?
amazing chart.
I mean, how could you have something that used to be worth 25% on average go to 4%? Is the whole sector going out of business? I mean, it's ludicrous. And yet it laid there. And that range that I have at the bottom, that little rectangle, is 13 years wide. It's from 2013 to the present. You bump the top of that range three times, including recently in February when we had the sharp up in gold, silver, and the miners. The miners were outperforming gold during that surge, but they were still in that range, still captured down there in that. Effectively free for in a free range, okay. They pull back after February, as did the price of the miners. They happened to pull back a bit more than gold did. Last month, you closed out above the top of that range.
So you broke out, it looks
So,
like.
while Newmont and Wheaton back to their net price highs, the miners went through the relative performance readings that have prevailed in this perfect little base for 13 years.
Look at that.
Now, if you treat that just as a simple price chart, which really it is, it's price versus price, and you see a base that's 13 years wide, defined by three highs, and you get a breakout, you would say, hey, that's a major buy signal, as it is. And you look at that chart and say, well, okay, where might it go before it finds any problem? Well, obvious. Look at the bottom end of the multi-decade range up there at 18%. Well, at current levels at 9+%,
It's a double.
that's a double. Okay, now only in performance that's a double, which is good in itself. This spread, see the red arrows in that little range down there? That's when the miners were outperforming gold, but still in the box. Okay, each of those red arrows was also a time when gold was soaring. Hundreds of dollar move. So when the miners outperform, it also is coincidental with strength in gold. All it means is when gold is soaring, they're soaring more. Okay. Okay, now you've got even a bigger event because you have a breakout that suggests they could double. Well, it doesn't mean that miners are going to double versus gold staying where it is. Okay, that's what this spread says. Gold's about to go ballistic too, but they're just going to go twice as much before they even bump something. Okay, but why did this occur, considering the fact that when we made that low in 2015 at 4%, first of those lows, yeah, we've had an 11-year uptrend in gold and silver and the miners in net price, but they were still capped in this range. So this breakout is telling you that the bull market in gold is about to enter a new dimension, a new phase that is. Even though those rallies with the little red arrows show that miners versus gold winning versus gold, gold had big moves then too. But we're about to have something even bigger, a doubling. Now, maybe for gold, it's a doubling, and for miners, therefore, it'd be what, a quadrupling, right? Something like that, you know? Okay. But this says something is happening. An asset class shift is underway initially. This is an initial signal. So it's telling you that even though most people looking at price charts think, hey, gold's been up for too long, too much of a move over, late last year, it's over, that's the top. Okay. This thing says, no, it has just begun.
You know, I really appreciate this chart because one of my curiosities, really, for the last couple of years, really, well, since you and I've been talking, so sometime in here, is why haven't the miners caught up to the price of gold relative to where it was or is, or, just, and again, just on a value basis? Well, here you go.
Investors make errors and they
Investor,
overlook.
yeah.
Yeah.
But this shows the
People,
breakout.
the same condition exists with silver, by the way. It's broken out versus gold going back 13-year base in
This is
late last
powerful right
year.
here. That is powerful. Go
It,
ahead.
so we've got a technical situation that is arguing that silver has freshly, late last year, emerged versus gold as a performer. The miners have now signaled we too are now going to outperform gold. That does not occur in a bear market.
No.
Okay. So again, these charts speak volumes because they also imply something about asset class shift out of something into something. And so my position, personal position, is favor silver and the miners, but especially silver miners.
You know, you also, and I can even pull it up. Let me share my screen again,
Okay.
which is this is it all works together really well. If you connect the dots, because you talked, and again, to all my viewers and listeners, you're getting a treat here. And to those that already subscribed to Michael's service, just follow along. You talk about the stock market, just be hitting some danger zones is what I would call them, and
Yeah.
that's. It works really well with the thesis that we just talked about because big money is rotating into the miners for safety. Is that a potential possibility, is what you're seeing?
I think so because the T-bonds no longer offered a viable alternative. In fact, the T-bonds are the nuclear event. You can take the Iran war and shove it. It has zero impact compared to the T-bond crisis that we're now in. 2007 through 9 collapse, stock market 50% in the S&P, private debt, mortgages. Okay. Now it's U.S. government T-bonds, Japanese bonds. In fact, we had to send money over to Japan to help them defend their yen so they wouldn't dump more of our bonds. So it's a cycle between losers.
Happened like
Okay.
what, 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks
Yeah,
ago, 4 weeks
yeah,
ago,
yeah.
yeah.
And then Bessent comes out every other day now and comments with a smile about, the bonds are great. Okay. Why is he coming out every day to tell us that? And he said he was going to use like 4 billion per, I think, per treasury auction or something to support the bond. I might as well put $100 in there because that's about as significant as 4 billion compared to that, the size of that market. So anyway, that is the crisis that this market knows about and has known it's coming. And finally, it's now 2 weeks ago, at least, it finally got on the front screen of financial pages and TV stations. CNBC finally started mentioning the bond problem.
Yeah, right.
It's
You
been there
also
for, go ahead.
Well, you also mentioned here, again, I don't want to give all your stuff away, but this was a great report. You mentioned here just the commodity breakout.
Yeah, that's a very, this is a very important chart too. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, and
Okay.
oil wasn't, correct me if I'm wrong, I won't want you to tell me, is not really participating, which is crazy as well.
Well, this is again, it's an asset category that is dirt cheap, broadly basket of commodities, oil, grains, sugar, cotton, copper, base metals, and
Yep.
so forth. The Bloomberg's comprised of fairly well balanced sectors of the commodity complex. Okay. And you can see this goes back to 1997. So, 20 years, okay. So 120, you drop down to 80, then you went up in 2008, you reached 200 and what? I'll scroll up a bit there. 200 and yeah, about 230. Okay.
Five, yeah,
Yeah.
yep.
And then you had the collapse, and then you layered down in bear market, went all the way down and actually intra-month traded below 60.
Yep.
That's lower than prices 20 years prior. Okay.
Right.
I mean, that's like the same as that gold spread. What it did in 2015. It's like, what are you going to do? Give it away?
Right.
Okay. Now, momentum is not shown here. We've shown that to our subscribers in prior reports. You see the little green arrows on that price chart?
Yep.
That's where we gave our first major buy signal back in 2020, the first green arrow. Then the second one was in, that's the first one. And then that led to the surge that peaked in 2022. Then we pulled back, laid there for 2 years. And in October of last year, that other green arrow said, rebuy me. Momentum did. I'm going to start the second leg up. Well, as you can see, price then joined in because price had a parallel channel.
Yeah.
Three lows going back to 2009 and two highs. So five pivot points that were perfectly parallel.
Yep.
You broke through in January of this year. So price then lagged to momentum, said, hey, me too. I'm going up too. Okay. So price is now positive, had a pullback recently, and is back to the high in August. Okay. Now, by the way, everybody who thinks oil is causing commodities to go up is crazy.
Exactly. That's my
Yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The oil didn't break out via our metrics until January. Well, hell, by January, you were above that parallel channel in the Bloomberg. Oil wasn't a participant in that surge from
Think
last
about
year.
that.
It wasn't even a participant. And in It wasn't really a strong component until March. That's when it really exploded.
Yeah.
So Bloomberg was already well out above all this stuff before oil finally woke up and said, hey, me too. Okay.
Yep.
Now, the problem with the oil move was you sucked in headline chasers, people who
Yep.
sell based on a war this way or that way. And they got killed. We warned them, if you're buying oil at 100, 110, you're going to get killed. And sure
Yeah.
enough, they did, even though we were bullish at 65 in January. Until you had that sharp pullback, we got back down actually to 67 a month ago, July. We
Yep.
traded all the way back to 67, which was our $2 above our oil buy point. And then oil last month did what? Closed up $1, the August close versus July. And yet look at the Bloomberg, back to its highs, very
Yep.
sharp up month. So oil is a factor, but it is not a leader here.
Yeah,
Therefore,
that's fascinating.
why are commodities going up as a basket?
Money
Because
printing.
money printing goes somewhere. And
Yep.
if you've got money and you want to move to a safer place and you're a little concerned about paper asset bubble in the stock market, you don't want to buy bonds. And you look at the commodity complex if you're really sober and look back at it, not just the action of the last 6 months, and you say, hey, this thing's cheap.
Yep.
It's proven it isn't going any lower. And what if it catches up to the
Yep.
other paper assets that are going to start going down while it goes up? Because that money shifts. It doesn't just get burned up, it shifts. And I think that's where we are. So effectively, the Bloomberg is now telling you that there's an asset class shift underway. Pay attention to it. And therefore, that money's coming from someplace. And I bet it's coming from the growing body of doubters in the stock market.
Yeah. Michael, as always, well done. Well done. I enjoy our time. If people want to become, use your services, become a subscriber, how do they do that?
That's again, OliverMSA.com. We explain our unorthodox methodology, and if you want some there are some sample reports in there on the site. But you can also email me and request some samples. My email address is on the site.
Got
And
it.
we look at all the four big asset categories. We don't just look at gold and silver, you know. So,
Michael, I'll have Colby, our producer, will put all of this in the show notes below. It's been too long since I've had you on. You're a busy guy. You're high in demand. So, but
well,
love to get you on again
put your
soon.
seatbelt on, because the next 6 months are going to be unusual in a lot of area, in a lot of markets. So people's assumptions about what norms are will go out the window.
Well, hold on, guys, hold on. And I would agree with that. I would agree with that, everything you're saying. Michael, it's always a pleasure. Look to have you on again really soon. You're busy, so I'll let you go. But again,
Thank you, Andy.
thank you so much for your time.